This is the PubRight Podcast, a service of the Arbortex community.
This is Rajal Shah. He works at Juniper Networks. And Rajal, do you want to talk a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and the project you're managing?
Sure. So I'm the director of document engineering. That's a group in Foundation Technologies at Juniper. That's the corporate R&D group. Part of my goal and the reason why I was hired was that we wanted to adopt a unified documentation and publishing approach across all the five business groups at Juniper. And so we started off with moving from FrameMaker to XML, and then we moved from XML to topic-based documentation approach, and then we're looking at realizing some value propositions based on topic-based documentation. The current scenario at Juniper is that all the five business groups are 100% in XML. So all the tech pubs groups are in XML. Tech pubs provides 50% of all content on juniper.net. So it's quite a sizable amount of content. They all use the same documentation and publishing infrastructure. And we're trying to derive consistency and content leverage between business groups to gain more efficiency. And we're looking at value propositions to do customized content where we can publish dynamic books based on customer queries.
So are you, you've gone a long way since I was there a million years ago, getting it wrong the first time, as I always do. So... wow, all the groups are in.
That's correct. It's a lot of content. We have one single repository which do not mimic the department boundaries, but it actually mimics the topic content based on topic type. So, you know, people organize, there's only one repository at Juniper which is organized by, you know, concept material is one place, references are another, installation tasks are in another location, and it's a repository pool that anybody at Juniper can leverage.
So have you been bringing on new writers over the last couple of years, or is everybody still sort of the same team?
It's a great question. So I should have started off saying document engineering is responsible for the sort of the vision, which is actually a collective vision with tech pubs, but I'm driving the vision and we own the infrastructure. We do not write any content. My entire team is based off engineers. So all the content teams are my partners, and they have hired quite a few writers over the past few years. That reflects the growth at Juniper. We've not had much churn as far as with writers are concerned. So the folks who were originally in FrameMaker are the folks who are actually now authoring in XML and topics. But we've hired quite a few new people also.
So how big is your team now?
My team is a group of 8 people. It's actually a very small group. I want to keep it less than 10% of tech pubs overall. I think I'm at 6 or 7%, which is at a bare minimum. But we own quite a lot of infrastructure. We own the authoring platform. It's not just the Epic Editor. It's a complete authoring platform that supports authoring by 125 writers. Approximately 100 to 125 writers across all the geographies, including Bangalore and Boston or Westford and California and Canada and Israel. And they all use the same common platform, and we've spent quite a bit of infrastructure. We use the Citrix environment to host it in a way so that everybody gets good performance out of it. It scales better. We own the storage infrastructure, which we actually are leveraging IT's team site instance to basically house our repository. We have a dedicated repository at Juniper just for XML content. And then we have a complete publishing infrastructure that takes our source XML files from the repository and applies style sheets and generates outputs in various formats. So I have, and then we post it on the web. So the team I have is, it's a pretty bare minimum team. So we have one person who owns the authoring platform, one person who owns a publishing platform, one person who owns the look and feel of a content, one person who's the information architect, one person who's working on dynamic book building, one person who's doing QA. who did I miss out? One person who's doing documentation and training for all the writers, and I'm sort of the sales guy evangelizing it with the other with the other functions, marketing, sales, sys test, etc.
So I was just going to ask you what the roles were for your team, and that's a pretty well-defined list.
Yeah, in real circumstances, I think we're just right. It's a well-oiled machine. We have quarterly release of all our systems, etc. But there isn't much space for disruption. So I'm very well aware of having a tight group at this point.
So if you've got 8, there are 80 or more writers corporate-wide that you're supporting?
120 approximately.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how, it's been a long time, how does that split out now for writing and editing? Best guess.
I wouldn't know. I'm guessing it's about 5 to 10 editors.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. We have one editing manager in one of the business groups, and in the rest of the business groups, they all have 1 or 2 editors. So 5 business groups. I'm guessing about 5 to 10.
So how is editing working in the environment?
Good question. So this actually ties into something what we are focusing now is we started off with the vision. We started off with the conversion to XML. That was the value proposition at that time was just operational efficiency. How do we automate production? Then we moved to topic-based documentation to do leverage, and then we are trying to build dynamic book billing applications. So we focus in that direction for the vision. Only now we are focusing on how do tech pubs processes change when we move to XML or when we are focusing more on the web or when we're focusing on topics and when we are sharing each other's content, etc. So we've actually just started a workflow committee initiative to look at all our existing processes and see, how does authoring happen? How does doc planning happen? How does review happen with editors as well as with engineers? How does publishing of content happen? So the editing process currently is still following the old traditional FrameMaker style. Some of the editors have actually moved on to editing the HTML content, but otherwise, the process is the same, whether they were looking at PDFs and marking it in hard copies or using the Acrobat comment feature to do editing. So that's the next phase, is how do the processes change for tech pubs?
And that was going to be my next question. What's your process look like now? And what are you expecting to find?
Oh, so our process currently has, as I said, still follows the book-based paradigm and the FrameMaker-based production approach, right? With topics, go ahead.
For those of us who are no longer at Juniper, or we're never there, can you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Okay, sure. What that means is that, writers own books and most of the content inside that book, and they actually have a production cycle of a couple of days where they actually take their frameworks and run through WebWorks and generate HTML and PDF and do the print, the print preview, production edits and things like that in a very traditional approach in a book-based thing. What we are seeing now is some of the product groups that have moved on to the topic-based documentation, what they're doing is the doc plan time, when they are planning the docs, they're actually planning how many topics they're going to write, what types of topics they're going to write, who's going to write it. And then there is an information architect who sort of says, okay, how am I going to present all these topics in, we call it a pathway page. It's basically our index page, but it's an index page based on tasks that our customer takes. So, you have tabs of, if you're doing overview of this hardware, here are all the topics. If you're installing, here are all the topics. So all the layout and the information architecture of all the topics is then done by the information architect. Then there are some book owners who actually are not owning the topics, but they actually assemble the topics as a collection of topics and make a book out of it. And so you can see the change in approach in the former life. Book would be a primary medium, and the book owner would own most of the content inside it. Whereas here, We are assembling books as a collection of topics, and each topic has its own topic owner. And what this does is then the, you know, we don't have to just give those 5 or 10 books that we all always do at each release. We can create books, or we call it topic collections, based on user needs, you know. So if there is a need for just not a full depth overview of Junos, but they just want to understand VPN and MPLS on this EX series platform, then we can create a custom a topic collection with just that information. So we create a lot more topic collections as such. And then all the production and posting on the web is now focusing on topics, which are HTML chunks of content, you know, one unit of information in HTML. So priority is given on how the HTML content looks like, how does one topic post on the web, as opposed to just the PDFs of the book. So this is a fundamental change in the way the processes will evolve. So we've got, you know, certain product groups doing the new way, certain product groups doing the old way, and we've just started analyzing that and saying what should be the unified process for everything.
Fascinating. So if I go to juniper.net, I can still see all of the books. What am I seeing today?
Aha. Go to juniper.net, and then what I would suggest is click on support. And then if you click, you know, you will see a link for technical documentation. So if you click on that, an example of the new look and feel is if you click on the EX series platforms under switching. Mm-hmm. And let's click on Junos release 9.5. Right? So you can see when you do Junos release 9.5, this is the software page, software documentation page for the EX series. Each link that you see is basically, I call it as an information model. So like, say, if you want to do user, let's talk about Ethernet switching, right, as features, right? So if you click on Ethernet switching, you will see a pathway page for Ethernet switching. Now, you will see that the tabs in that pathway page are organized by tasks the customers would take. So if you click on overview, you will see all the topics related to overview. If you want to configure the EX series, then you can click on it. You will see configuration examples, configuration tasks, configuration statements.
Wow.
Got it? And if you see on the right-hand side of the pathway page, you will see a download section. And that's basically our topic collections or the PDFs. We are not saying that the books will go away. In fact, we will think we will have more books. But what we are trying to get to is that we will customize books based on needs. And so right now you can see only 2 links over there. For complete software guide and the Ethernet switching. So do you see the download box at the right hand side?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where all our books would be, right? So that's an example of our new approach. If you go back to JuniperNet support technical documentation page, let's click on the SRX series link under security.
Okay.
Now, if you look at it, if you look at the next page, you will see on the middle of the page, you see translated documents, right? Mm-hmm. If you click on that for under hardware documentation, you see the translated version of all the books for that topic. And this is all these books are in XML. So everything I'm showing you, the content is already in XML, right? So we've done all the translation infrastructure to support all these 11 languages, and they're all difficult ones, right? Arabic, which is right to left, Chinese, Japanese. Uh-huh. So if you see that they're still doing XML, we're doing translations in XML, and we're giving the PDFs. This is the same process that was used before when we had FrameMaker books where the things were in books, and we would send off the book for translation and after the release, and there would be some time delay, and you would get the translated version back, and then we would post that. So we are still in XML following the old process. Now, if you go back to one page, back to the SRX series homepage, and let's click on the first link which says SRX 210 Services Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a link under HTML which says SRX 210 Documentation. If you click on that, you will see they've already moved to the pathway pages. So they've already moved to topics, right? They moved to XML, they moved to topics. And this is a different approach than we have than, say, IBM, where they do topics, but they present it as their information info center, which is in a book form. Whereas here, we are doing pathway pages just to show you topics. Now, now think about this. These are all the topics. The same topics are being translated and created. We create. So they are being assembled as books, as topic collections. Those are being translated, and we are publishing the PDFs. Now, the translations of the book actually means that we've translated all of these topics, right? Mm-hmm. So what that means is now, when we do translations for our books, not only can we do the PDF and the HTML of it, but we can have a parallel website of each language in this pathway page, where each pathway page is geared towards that particular language. And all the links will resolve to the translated topics. So you can see there's a difference between XML and now moving to topics and focusing on a topic as a primary deliverable. Is it's the same effort, the same amount of budget, same money to translate, but we will start creating parallel websites for different languages. And if you think about it, if TechPubs is 50% of Juniper.net as far as content is concerned, approximately, that's a pretty powerful way to create a multilingual website.
And a very good way to reach more customers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how are they responding to this change?
That's a great question. Well, I don't think we don't have an integrated, a unified approach yet, because certain groups have moved to this model. The other folks are still using the old model. And we are in the transition stage. So this is not the time when I'm trying to gather the pulse of the customer, because... Right. They actually might be confused. Sometimes they see books, sometimes they see topics, right?
Right.
We are in that mode. I do want to create some sort of a case and analysis and study on, you know, how do customers react with topic-based documentation once we have a unified solution. So we are not there yet. Folks who have used EX series and SRX series, I think they have reacted very favorably, very, very favorably. They've... You know, it's a transition, though, from getting books to getting topics. A big benefit we've seen is actually when you hit search, when you search for it in Google, before you would get a link to a chunked page inside a book, and you wouldn't even know where the hell you landed because the book is written in a sequential way. So the search, right. So when you hit a page, you wouldn't really know what's going on. And the vision we actually have that I'm trying to promote here is that on the web, with so much information on the web already, is when people search for search, they expect a link that solves their specific query, which means they're looking for a self-contained topic which has the information and all the context needed to solve their problem. And so what's happening is the topic-based approach fits that model very well, is when you search for, like say in this case, if you're under SRX, and let's say you go to installation, right? There is unpacking the SRX 210 services gateway is a topic. So if somebody's searching for SRX services gateway, unpacking, installation, unpacking, or whatever, you will hit the topic. And that topic will tell you exactly how to unpack it. So it's focused towards consuming information as chunks and ability to search. So we've seen some... positive effects based on that, as opposed to just getting a random chunk inside a book, you're now getting targeted topics that solve your problem. So we believe the promise is there to do it. We just haven't validated it or verified it as much. So it's more hearsay at this point.
Right. So what's the strategy going forward? Are you looking to build, have a customer come in, and this is what I bought, these are the physical interface cards I bought, give me all of the information, or are you looking at something else?
No, so I'll be taking a bunch of approaches. One is, so let me just walk through a few of them. Sure. So first is, say from, let's start internal. So now we have this huge repository of topic-based content in XML, which has all the technical information from TechPubs. So how do we leverage that repository, right? So one way to do that is that we can extend that to our solutions teams or marketing teams or even SysTest or customer service, where they want to leverage it. So if they want to write a white paper on a solution to do wireless, they actually have a solution that spans our product lines. Well, when they write the white paper solutions, they want to integrate technical information about those products, and they can start leveraging content that's in topics that is already written for by TechPubs. So there's one line of thought is saying, how can we extend this XML infrastructure for authoring and have other functional groups and other writing groups adopt it, right? For me, I think we have enough content in XML that I'm not really, you know, we've passed the threshold of should we do XML or should we do topics or not. I think Juniper is one of the very few companies in the world that I know of that is totally migrating towards topics and is very serious about it. So instead of, you know, for the fundamental barrier to adopting XML or topics is actually migrating to authoring in XML. And instead of having that pain for our other functional groups to migrate the tools and moving to this XML authoring model, which they could do, but instead of me selling that idea or that proposition, I'm trying to focus on the other aspect, is that if I have enough information in this repository, how can I let them leverage this information? So we're focusing on applications which process content, as I call it, content applications, that allow them to search our repository by metadata, by topics, by query, saving their bunch of topics, and creating a topic collection themselves. Maybe if they're going to meet a customer at AT&T, can they quickly, they know which technologies or which products AT&T is involved in or interested in, and they can quickly search for those topics, assemble a book and say, hey, by the way, here's the information about our products for your interests, for features that you're interested in, and you can read it at leisure, right? So I'm trying to look at more of the value proposition of how they can leverage the content at this point by using content applications for dynamic content. And then once they see that, my hope is if I can show them that value, they might say, well, but I want to add some more information to this information, you know, to what you have in TechPubs. And that's, we can say, yeah, great, because we want to expand a repository to include your content also. So why don't you author in this? That way you can include your content as part of your customized deliverable for your customer, right? So that's the model I'm taking, is focusing on applications and getting the value to drive other function groups to actually adopt the XML information and contribute to our repository.
Wow, so your next target is probably support or marketing.
Solutions guys, actually. There's a lot of folks, like, they're doing day one books at Juniper or white papers or solutions to win a deal, or marketing, who wants to create proposals to for the customers, and they can quickly create reference documentation for them. And I think that's a huge differentiator whenever we realize that, because we are truly trying to get after the value of the XML topics proposition, and I don't know if our competitors are there yet or if they can do that.
I haven't heard of anyone going quite as far as this so far.
Great.
Yeah, no, this is fascinating. Wow, you guys have come a really long way.
I think so. We've got a full-fledged vision, a very crisp three-year vision. We have all the TechPubs directors and who are my colleagues, and we are marching along those lines. I think now is the time for us to show value. I think customers will now see the value of what we've done in the past 4 or 5 years, because now we will start doing a unified topic-based approach. We'll do dynamic content. We'll give them translated content in HTML, hopefully, and they will start seeing, I think they will start seeing that a different customer experience going forward, maybe 2010.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're redefining how information will work on the web and throughout the enterprise.
Correct.
Wow, that's very cool. What's your biggest challenges lately?
So, you know, I've talked to a lot of companies, and a lot of companies are still trying to realize XML, the vision of XML, or moving to Dittr or DocBook or talking infrastructure, or how should the teams be organized. I think we are past all of that. I think this is real for Juniper. The upper management has really bought this, and we believe it's going to be a differentiator. So I think the next steps for us is really to look inwards and say, how do we migrate towards this unified topic strategy so that there is one consistent common customer experience? How do we do content leverage. So it's not just how what topics we give, but like give you an example. Say, you know, if you have somebody's writing a topic on what is MPLS, you know, it's a protocol. Instead of having multiple copies of what is MPLS floating around, how can we have one person in the company who's responsible for documenting what is MPLS, and everybody leverages this topic on their pages or in their books? And, you know, that content leverage, I think, is powerful, because then when the subject matter experts makes a change, it reflects consistently across all the other downstream documents that use it. You know, our challenge right now is how do we consolidate all our topics to these single master copies, if you say, and then how do we increase our content leverage? That's one challenge. And again, that's a whole information architecture or content strategy that we have to work out. The other strategy is that really, you know, we took this as far as we could, the vision, but it's time for us to focus on our workflows and processes. First, we had books, that was a large chunk of information. Now we have topics, and we have to manage these topics. And, you know, each book can have roughly 300 topics, which means now you have to deal with 300 small chunks that you were not dealing before. So we need some sort of automation. So it's really a system infrastructure play on how do we do batch productions and publishings and reviews, and how do we automate and remove the manual tasks out of managing the information and letting the writers focus on content architecture. So that's basically been our challenge, migrating to topics, consolidating topics, or a unified view of all our information, because we're in the transition mode, and then leveraging and improving our content leverage.
So since you're sort of on this topic, process changes dramatically when you start wanting to automate content and general product information delivery, really, right? Not books, but the whole information for an enterprise. Talk about your tools a little bit. Are you outgrowing them? Are you changing? Are you happy?
Ah, great question. So I hinted at that in the beginning, but maybe I should take this time and just explain it. I'll start with the authoring environment. So authoring environment, we use ArborText or PTC Epic Editor. We've customized it to incorporate some of our link management between strategies between topics and other customizations to facilitate authoring. We've actually hosted that on Citrix, and I think the future of XML is probably editors going to be hosting it on a server like a Citrix environment. And, you know, I've talked with ArborText quite a bit, and I believe that they think ours is a good reference implementation for others to follow also. What that does is that Citrix is basically, for folks who don't know, is it's like a web browser, but it's for non-web applications. So it's like X Windows, you know, the editor is actually running on the server, you just get the view. Now, why is that important? That makes a big difference when scale is involved. When we have 125 writers all across the world, if our repository is, so our repository sits right next to our Citrix servers. XML is very chatty. You know, every time you do something, because there are chunks, it's all logically assembled, it has to go back and forth to the repository to get the files. Now, if you have an editor which is on your laptop, and if you have your repository, which is TeamSite for us, say in Sunnyvale, well, every time you make that chatty calls, no matter wherever you're in the world, it has to go all the way back to the server and get the data for you and come and bring back. Now, authoring is very interactive, so a slight delay. It's not how much bandwidth you have. It's the response time when you scroll your mouse. How fast do you get the content, right? It doesn't matter how fast you can initiate the network connection and getting the information. And, you know, people work remotely. They work from Starbucks. They work from home in Bangalore. And before, the performance would just not scale, and no matter how much bandwidth we apply to it, it wouldn't right. solve the purpose. Citrix solves that. The authoring platform is sitting right next to a repository. All the operations of the data exchange is happening between Epic and TeamSite, and all you get on your laptop is a view of the editor. And so no matter where you are in the world, we are getting almost the same performance. And we have load balancing, and we've got four multiple servers now, which are balanced across a load balancer. And so, you know, we can scale very easily. There's no, you know, it's a clear metric of what's the performance on the server and then when do we plug in a new one. The other big advantage for us has been that, you know, go anywhere, all these style sheets, DTDs, customizations, they change very frequently. And by having it on the server, we just have one environment to support and debug, and we make all the changes and upgrades on our servers. We don't need to give our writers any patches or any code for them to install it themselves. And so the writers are completely free from any of the system details. You know, Juniper moved to a Mac platform. It did not matter.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Actually, it did not completely move to a Mac platform, but that was another option we had, that we could use Macs. I use a Mac. And Citrix is a client for a Mac or Solaris, as well as Windows. And
wow.
It doesn't matter where you are. You can access it from anywhere. We have outsourced vendors who have restricted privileges. Well, we allow them, you know, we VPN them in through this cage. And we set up the permissions in a firewall for them to access Citrix servers in just the Epic application. So we can even control access for outsourced vendors, offshore vendors, translation vendors, and still control what they can access on our system using the same infrastructure. So that's the authoring side, which is, I think, has been, if I had to say what was the number one thing that facilitated this explosion of content authoring, it's the environment, authoring environment, because we got performance and we got scale across the world, across the globe, and everybody has the same performance at this stage.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, and then we have the TeamSite repository. We primarily use it as a version control system. TeamSite is what Juniper already had, so it was not really a analysis and a determination that we came to use TeamSite. It's just a version control system as far as we are concerned. It has a good web UI, so it allows technical writers to check in, check out content from the web browser as opposed to command line, which was just valuable because we didn't want writers to feel like they had to be engineers to use XML. So that's a full dedicated repository we have. And then the publishing system, and I think I've seen it go various ways in the world. I strongly believe that publishing system is customized to your business needs, so it's something that you build in-house. And you know, I know Arbortext has E3, our publisher, and they do good jobs. We decided to move to FO, XSL FO technology, and build our own style sheets, and we have a full publishing system where we can queue in our requests and we send them reports. When the requests are processed, you know, we measure how much is our wait time before the request gets served, so that allows us to scale our hardware, you know, and you know, so that the production requests are returned in a reasonable amount of time. To give you an idea, our topics get rendered in HTML and in PDF, and it gets posted on our staging servers, and it takes roughly 7 to 10 seconds to do all those operations for a topic. So it is a good operational productivity gain, operational efficiency, and we're introducing more metadata tagging tools, batch tools, and because it's all on the server and we have our own publishing system, we have a full-fledged reporting engine which collects metrics on what's the trend as far as production is concerned. We do about we did 8 million pages through our system last year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a pretty real system. And we measure, you know, what's the user base, how many topics have been published, are we looking at content leverage, you know, who's referencing your topic, who's including them in your books. And because all that information is stored during the publishing system, we actually have dashboards and reports that we generate to measure how truthful we are to our vision.
That's great. So you're not the first that I've heard of. Once you hit a certain level, a certain size of company, to move to Citrix is actually significant.
Okay.
And we've heard that from other customers, which is very cool. And I don't know if everyone out there knows necessarily what Juniper does, but if anyone knows about bandwidth, it's you.
I like that.
Well, really, right? I mean, that's sort of what your business is.
Yeah, so. We do high-performance networking, and we like it when you burn the bits on the net. video is a close ally, and so is audio. So right. Keep buying those iPhones and keep doing the podcast.
So I had two more questions. One is your translation memory. Are you integrated tightly with that so that when writers are writing, they can see sentences that are similar or that they've written before?
So we have considered that. We don't have a full strategy on translation yet, primarily because our customer segment is broken up into two basic categories. One is the service providers. Service providers are like the folks who own the internet, like the AT&T, Verizon, China Telecom, British Telecom, Korea Telecom, Reliance in India, etc. And those guys are, those are big accounts, mega accounts, where you have dedicated people, and English seems to be the primary mode, and there's no translations that we do there. We are increasingly focusing on a second segment, which is the enterprise level and maybe even the consumer in the future. That's when we build smaller routers, smaller switches, and it's spread across smaller enterprises or branch locations and things like that. And that's distributed across the world, and we need translation efforts for there. So only one of our business groups right now is really focusing on translation. So we haven't really hit critical mass yet. Even though, it's surprising for a company this big, we haven't focused on it. So we own the translation memory, but it's managed entirely with our translation vendor. One of our business groups does all the translations. So the tech pubs director manages the relationship. And she is looking at ways to expand that across all the other business groups whenever the translation requirements are fed in. And so we don't have a full-fledged translation solution. So we work with the translation vendor. They manage all of memories. But the system supports the fonts, and the our DTDs and style sheets are aligned so that we can do translation of the strings that are hard-coded in them. But we don't leverage a memory for consistency in our sentence structure by showing it inside the Epic editor, etc. So we haven't done that yet.
So, and one other thing, you're talking about metadata and expanding the ability to search for across business units, across the enterprise. Have you started looking at integrating semantic web with your content, or are you defining keys just however your information architecture and your writing team thinks is most appropriate?
Great question. Well, I'm going to admit, I just have no clue what semantic web does. I've tried to understand it. It's too much of a high-level fluff for me at this point. Do I see it going that way? Yes, but I just don't know how. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I have to agree with you.
Okay.
I know some people who work in the field. They were down here for a conference this week, but I have to agree, it's still a little academic.
I agree.
Right.
And again, I think it's cutting edge, and I think there's something will come out of it. I just don't know what. But the thing about metadata, and we've talked about metadata for quite several years, actually since day one, since I've come to Juniper. I've done these XML technologies and top in content at multiple companies in the past. I was an architect at for Cisco's first SGML project. I was also the architect for the PayPal.com website, which moved to XML to do translations. And the thing that I've learned by experience, or at least my experience says, is that metadata is only effective if that's adopted across the entire company. And so I'm working very hard with a lot of functional groups at Juniper to define a corporate taxonomy And yes, it can evolve to ontologies and all the relationships and associations between the different taxonomies, etc. But Juniper is at the phase where we are working towards defining a corporate metadata taxonomy. And as soon as that is in place, I intend to leverage that heavily. Like, you know, I'll give you some straightforward examples. Give me a book of all topics that are tagged as VPN and for my MX series, right? And I should be able to find the topics, assemble it, and create a book out of it. So, you know, that's where we are with taxonomy. We've adopted some taxonomy at TechPub, but we've been very mindful that unless it's adopted at the corporate level, it won't be that effective. So I think that play will happen in 2010 for us.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like you're moving right along and leading the industry. I expect we'll see you at conferences.
Absolutely. And I'll look forward to seeing you soon too, Liz.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for your time, Rajal.
The PubRight Podcast is a production of Single Sourcing Solutions in San Jose, California. Copyright 2009. Single Sourcing Solutions.